Now, 50 years ago, a form of apartheid reigned in Australia. Aboriginal people were segregated or refused entry into public places like cinemas, didn't have the vote, and had to ask permission to leave their communities. Then, at the 1967 referendum, Australia voted overwhelmingly for equal rights for Indigenous people. It was the most successful referendum in Australia's history. A new children's book, Say Yes, takes a look at those times and that referendum through the story of Mandy Brown and Margaret Castles, who were 5 years old at the time. Mandy is Aboriginal, Margaret white, and 50 years on, they are still friends. They came into the studios to tell their story to Annie Hastwell.
Everyone knew that Mandy was Aboriginal and had been adopted by a white family, and the believed view then was that, Mandy had been abused and she was much better off in a white family, as were all the other Aboriginal kids who'd been adopted. So there was that knowledge, but that was all. There was no real, I don't think from my point of view, comprehension of difference.
No, it wasn't pointed out. I think in some ways, it was pretty generic the way that, we were all brought up together as children. It was good. It was good being like that.
This book is about the 1967 referendum. Now, I'm thinking if you started school in 66, you probably don't have any strong memories of that.
Oh, no, I can remember. I can remember being at school. I can remember all the way through school.
But we can't remember the referendum.
No.
Because we were more concerned about going to the tuck shop and getting lollies and not having to drink the horrible school milk.
Now, the book highlights theoretically what differences that would be in the lives of two small girls like that if one was Aboriginal and one wasn't. Can we run through some of the things that you couldn't do in those days that the book talks about?
Well, that didn't really happen to us because, we said, I was brought up in a British migrant family. So because they were, white, we didn't sort of mix in those circles where if I was brought up on community or with an Aboriginal family, I'm sure that it would have been more noticeable to me.
But the book deals with things like not being allowed into the swimming pool and things like that.
When Jenny wrote the book, she based it on our friendship, but those sort of incidences didn't happen to us, but they certainly happened to other children, around Australia.
It was an interesting referendum because Australia was behind it. The papers also seemed to be really on side. They seemed to be really trying to put it in a positive light, that this is something Australians need to do to feel better about themselves. Mm. How different do you think this upcoming, we assume, vote on constitutional recognition is in terms of the public's understanding of it?
I think the media has a lot to do with this, obviously, and if you look at the papers from that time, there seemed to me to be a lot more public-spirited leadership in the press. I think they were looking at both sides, but there was certainly this sense of pushing for reform where it was needed. I don't think I see that in the papers these days. It seems to be a much more trivialised discussion of things that relies on grabs of, opinions of this person or that person or this shock jock or that politician, and it's not really any sort of real analysis.
So with the last one, which the book deals with, it says it was a beginning, a good beginning. Was it a good beginning? Did it make a difference?
Oh, looking back, I think so, yeah. Mm. Like Aboriginal people were included in the census. They were allowed to vote. They were, became citizens for the first time of this country. But they also had support from non-Aboriginal people, which, for the first time, I guess, they could visually see that they had this support. It was physical support.
Mm. So with the new beginning, so we have this referendum, what do you hope that will achieve?
I don't know. I really don't know. I'm hoping it doesn't get up. I was a bit sus of it right in the very beginning when I saw the big R on the football field because that's, the God's arena in Australia. And I thought, why is the government pouring all this money into this campaign that, we don't even really know about as Aboriginal people, let alone non-Aboriginal people, And then, people were wearing badges and there were banners everywhere at all our Aboriginal events. And I started to question it. Like, what does it actually mean? I can sift through and read between the lines pretty well when people say, oh, this is going to, benefit Aboriginal people. And I think it's also taken away some of the rights. If you take away saying that they're included as equal, but then they don't have any preference and there has to be first preference. We have to be preferred as First Nations people. Otherwise, the recognition's not there.
So you see the government support of this as a little bit insidious, really?
Oh, totally. I've always thought if it's government-led, you've got to be suspicious of it.
I think that's true these days, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Within the Aboriginal community, though, how widespread is your view?
Oh, quite widespread. Yep. And across the nation.
So this is going to be a problem because not only we'll have something that maybe everybody's on the side of, but Aboriginal people themselves are saying we don't want it.
Well, we're not sure about it. We need to say, what does this mean? What was your mission in the first place? And then what are the outcomes? What is this going to mean for Aboriginal people across the board, across things like, you know, like making laws for Aboriginal people, et cetera, et cetera?
And it is really complicated. It is a very convoluted proposition. And you can see, oh, you want, you know, you government want this because it's an easy fix and maybe a bit of PR. But in fact, what are the implications? I hadn't really thought very deeply about those. But what are the implications and how do they connect to all those other somewhat insidious things that happen around legislating for Aboriginal people and the like? So
it would mean an end to the possibility of treaties were it to go through.
Yeah, but not just that. I mean, not just treaties. You know, people talk a lot about treaties, but I think there's other things like closing the gap scheme that would go. You know, ATSIC's already gone, but there are other things that are available to Aboriginal people to create the lessening of that gap that would possibly say, well, you don't, we can't fund that anymore because it doesn't come under the constitution.
Mandy Brown and Margaret Castles talking to Annie Haswell. The book Say Yes was written by Margaret's sister Jennifer Castles, published by Allen and Unwin.